This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, March 29, 2018. Maundy Thursday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
On the night he was betrayed, may the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This evening is the evening on which we celebrate Holy Thursday. We celebrate it with the Mass of the Lord's Supper. It's the institution of the Eucharist. It has been called other things, Maundy Thursday, which it is, Maundy, the foot washing. We never want to lose sight of the fact that the foot washing is, as our Lord says, an example of something. It is an example of his love for us. It is something that was objectively manifest to the apostles to show the love that Jesus had for them. That was going to be inconsequential to what he was going to endure over the next couple of days. Suffering, death, burial. When we look at what our Lord endured, and we understand the love that is the foundation of those things, it speaks so profoundly to what we should understand as a sacrificial love that we are supposed to show one to another. That is what proves that we are the brethren, as it says later in the New Testament. But all of this love, the institution of the Eucharist, these examples of Jesus Christ's love for us, happened, as he says, on the night he was betrayed. It's interesting. Betrayal, denial, being spat upon, slapped, hit with reeds, scourged, nailed to a cross, dying, and then buried. Interesting. Not one of those things is good. Not one. But it manifests the ultimate act of love that ever occurred on the face of this planet. A love that we cannot nor will ever understand on this side of the veil. I don't think that's one of the things that we're going to get when we're on the other side of the veil. We're never going to comprehend in our finitude what the infinite God does for us in his infinite love. This brings to mind all the bad things that happen in our lives. All of them. Bad people, bad situations over which you have no control, bad situations that you bring on yourself. All of those evils are something that we need to overcome, but in understanding that it is generally through those things that good can arise. Generally. How can anything good? I just explained to you how the ultimate act of love that ever occurred on this planet was precipitated by nothing but bad things. And it starts out, and we hear it every Mass, on the night in which he was betrayed. Betrayal starts the whole thing. And then it gets worse and worse and worse. And we benefit from it. The bad things in life, whether they be any one of those three categories, bad people, bad situations that you don't have any control over, or bad situations that you bring on yourself, can all be used and ought to be used as something good. If you read the lives of the great saints, you will see many, many accounts of the saints praying prayers of thanks when bad things happen to them. The Saint Jose Maria Escriva, he was actually rebuked by his spiritual director because he let it be known to his spiritual director, which is the proper thing to do, that he was praying for a grievous illness to strike him, that he could offer up his sufferings to the Lord. The spiritual director said, "You will cease immediately praying for a grievous illness to come upon you to use the sufferings for the Lord, because you just might get what you asked for." He said, "If the Lord wants to give you a grievous illness, then by all means, offer that suffering for the Lord. Don't ask for it." Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't ask for it. He knew that it needed to be done, but he didn't ask for it. As a matter of fact, as the time approached, he actually asked that it be taken away from him, even knowing that it must needs be done. When we understand that the bad things that happen in our lives are actually generally more beneficial to us than the good things, we can start to orient ourselves to praying prayers of thanks when they happen, no matter what it may be. What are those three categories? Evil men, people that do evil things, people that have betrayed you, people that have done the most horrible things that be considered to you. You never know, as St. Augustine says, if you curse that person, you just might be cursing a brother in your future. For instance, what would have happened if God, listening to St. Stephen with his dying breath, if St. Stephen, when he was getting hit with stones, said, "Lord, curse all these who are stoning me." Who was among those? The apostle to the Gentiles, Saul of Tarsus, writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. If St. Stephen had have cursed him, what happens then? St. Stephen says, "Hold not the sin to their account." When bad situations happen to us, over which we have no control, we have no control over them, but there is someone who does. He is in control of absolutely everything. God didn't will that to happen to me. Then who did? Are you a creature that has bound yourself to the fates, to accidental things happening? I don't like that at all. God is in control of those things. Illnesses, death, we can learn and get closer to him through all of those things if we pray. If we pray about it, making something good out of nothing. In those categories where you bring these things upon yourself, don't beat yourself up over what has happened recently, what has happened in the recent past, or what has happened in the distant past. Don't beat yourself up for it. Look at it as a learning experience. If nothing else, dwell on how enormous the offense was to God, and then be crushed, shed tears, and love him more than you ever have to make recompense for what you have done in the enormity of your sin. Bad things for us result in us being much better off than we were before they happened to us. This is what we commemorate at every Mass. This is what we hear every time we come together to share this Eucharist that our Lord instituted. When we do this, it is so much more deep than anyone seems to realize, than we can realize, this mystery of our faith, where bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior in the most objective sense that you can ever imagine. The same flesh that you take into yourself is the same flesh that hung on the cross, the same flesh that was torn by the scourges, the same flesh that died and was buried, the same exact flesh of Jesus Christ is what you take into yourself. In English, it falls short. Do this in memory of me. It's about the best we can do, though. But if you translate it the way it really means, it is do this as a representation of what I am going to do. The Greek word anamnesis means to represent something. That's very awkward. A little less awkward, but something that still doesn't really flow well, is do this as my memorial. Not bringing back to your mind a history lesson of what Jesus did a long time ago, but being before a memorial to what he did so long ago. That first reading from the Old Testament, the institution of the Passover. The Passover meal was a shadow. It was a shadow of our Lord Jesus Christ dying for us. This is the eternal covenant. So, well, they said that that was the same thing with the Passover. The Eucharist is the fulfillment of the Passover. That's why it is so problematic. And I know several people. I know some parishes around here. Every time this year, we're going to recreate the Passover meal. Why? Why? The Eucharist took its place. Why? And it's not wrong to go to one to see how things were done back in those days. But to do it regularly is to conflict with what our Lord Jesus Christ did. It's so quick. Oh, let's go see a Passover meal the way they used to do it back in the day. If they were going to kill goats and oxen and sheep, would you go run about? I want to go see them kill some sheep the way they did it back in the day. There's no difference. The shed blood of these animals that continued and continued. The gross nature of the death, the little creatures pointing forward to Jesus Christ. We do this as a memorial to his hanging on the cross for us. Every time we do this, the Lord God looks down from on high. He doesn't hear our prayers for us, for our sakes. He hears them for the sake of his Son, who is represented to him in real time. He's not looking at a picture. The barriers of time and space go away, and he's looking at his Son. He's a timeless God. He's not bound by time. For him, his Son hanging on the cross was not 2,000 plus years ago. He looks down and sees his Son hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, his torn flesh on our altars, his shed blood in our chalices, taking that into ourselves. That is what this night is about. We do this as a memorial to him. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.